Bibles, please, the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, continue on our study of the red letters, the words of Christ. And we've been talking about how the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, and Jesus have been clashing. And the Pharisees' rejection of Jesus has become stronger and stronger. And we're going to see here really a change that Jesus has been rebuking the religious leaders. And they haven't accepted Jesus as their Messiah. And so what we've seen here is from here on out, Jesus starts doing some parables, doing some teaching, talking about, look, you've rejected me, and now the kingdom of God is going to be given to others. Then in here we see Israel. The Bible says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, right? The Jews who had waited for their Messiah had now rejected him. And now the invitation goes out, praise God, to those who aren't Jews, going out to the Gentiles, which I'm thankful for because I'm a Gentile. And in here, salvation was offered to us. And we're going to see from here on, it's important for us to realize what's taking place because the next couple of parables, stories, Jesus is talking about. And the audience here, the religious leaders, are in the crowd. And they hear and they understand, they know what Jesus is saying. You know, we're so afraid of offending today. We're so cautious about that. And our society is just so ingrained in us. I find myself in that, right? I don't want to offend someone. I don't want to hurt someone. I don't want my words. You know, things have changed a lot. I remember when I was a kid, my mom telling us, you know, sticks and stones may make your bones, but words will never hurt me, right? And now we've gone to a point where, you know, words are violence. And so oftentimes we're so afraid of speaking the truth. And yet Jesus didn't. And I think one of the things we need today is really a holy boldness to speak the truth of God, to stand firm on our convictions of what the word says. And not everyone's going to accept it. Actually, Jesus told us, "Is look, wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and few that find it." We will be rejected, and it's not us being rejected, it's Jesus. So don't be surprised. And so in here, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. And so it's interesting. Have you read the Bible and there's a part that kind of just stands out like, why is that in there? This is one of those things. Without the context, you know, Pastor, why are you talking so much? Because without the context here, you would ask yourself, why is this in here? Because all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking by. Actually, why don't we go ahead and get to the text. Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 18. Matthew 21, verse 18. Page 868 in my Bible, if that helps anyone. But this one says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city," remember Jesus had gone in, driven out the money changers, right? Jesus was kind of cleaning house and declared, look, that my house would be called a house of prayer for the nations. And Israel had totally failed at that. Right? When Jesus had, when God had set up Israel, one of the things they were supposed to do is reach the other nations with the truth. And we see that rejection of that, and actually to a point where now the religious leaders are arrogant. And actually because of their actions are turning people away from God instead of drawing them in. Here's a little hornet. Yeah, you see it right there. All right. And so we see this, that Jesus drove out the money changers. And so now the next morning he comes up through. And it says he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And immediately the fig tree withered away. Then the disciples saw it. They marveled, saying, "How did this fig tree wither away so soon?" Now, this seems a little harsh. You know, I've been a little hungry. Great white hunter. All right. I don't have to worry about that. Hopefully it didn't fall on the offering plate. Judy, watch yourself when you start going through other things. But, so, you know, this is really out of character. Jesus is walking through. He's hungry. He goes up to the tree. He looks for a fig. There's no figs. He curses it. And it seems rash and out of character of Jesus. But you need to realize the context this is in. Just before this, Jesus goes into the temple and drives out the money changers. They've taken the holy place of God and distorted it into something else. The religious leaders have been bickering and rejecting Jesus. So Jesus does here is sort of an object lesson, if you will. And so hopefully this will clarify, because this isn't really about Jesus being hungry with a fig tree. There's something else going on here. And so we go into context. We finish off this chapter. We go into the next chapter where Jesus talks about the rejection of Israel, the rejection of the religious leaders. And they turn away and reject Jesus. And Jesus takes away their heritage from them and says he'll give it away to others. So if you read this passage, you say, why is Jesus dealing with this fig tree in I want you to realize it's not about the fig tree. The fig tree symbolizes the religious leaders. And if you can get that in here and you get that in the context, this makes so much more sense. Isn't that Jesus' anti-fruit? Actually, in the same chapter, just down a little bit later, like I said, we're going to get into some of these parables over the next few weeks. It says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you. He's talking to religious leaders. Right? They were sitting in the seat of Moses. They were given the responsibility to teach the people, for them to get within them the excitement that the Messiah was coming, to live for the kingdom of God. And they were doing everything but. And because of that, Jesus says to them, look, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and will be given to nations, bearing the what? What's that next word? The fruits. Bearing the fruits of it. And so we talk about this idea of fruit in our life. It's the product of the impact that God has in our life. That is the fruit. What is the purpose of this? What is the purpose of our lives? What's the purpose of a fig tree? Is to produce figs, fruit. And a fruit tree that does not produce fruit isn't doing its job. The religious leaders, those who are religious, who reject the truth of God. We live in a day and age where so many people have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. People will say, yes, I'm a Christian, but not stand for what is right. They'll say, yes, I'm a Christian, but it doesn't impact your life. I don't need to change. We don't hear this idea of holiness anymore. We don't talk about trying to strive to live a holy life, sanctification, that cleansing of our lives, of the things of this world, of denying the flesh. Those things we don't hear about. We're just told that Jesus is here to make you happy. Now, don't get me wrong. God gives us blessings along the way. I'm thankful for that. But we are called to bear fruit. You know, just because we go to church doesn't make someone a Christian. Just because someone says they love Jesus does not mean they're a Christian. The proof is in the pudding, as my mama would say. Right? The proof is in the fruit. And the Pharisees had no fruit. Here Jesus was with them. Right? At this point, Jesus is heading to the cross. Jesus has been ministering roughly 3 years. Teaching and healing. And yet time and time again, at every turn, the religious leaders rejected Jesus. They rejected the truth. You know, one of the dangers of saying no to God is that one of these days he'll listen. Noah preached for 120 years. Called the world to repent and enter the ark. And yet none accepted except Noah and his family. We live in a day and age just like that. We preach the truth and we're ridiculed for it. We're old-fashioned. We're ignorant. But what is the fruit of this world? It's destructiveness. It's depression. It's loneliness. So in our lives, it is us who call ourselves Christians need to pursue fruit in our lives because there's a danger of being fruitless. God always won't strive with man. So there's three things I want to point out this morning. First of all, if you are a Christian, if you claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believe he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, ascended on high. If you believe that and accepted his forgiveness into your life, that in here, you are called to be fruitful. We are called to do for him. John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He said, you are already clean, because the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. We have this call to go forth as Christians, as believers, as his disciples, to produce fruit. But it's not by our own making. In here, the way to produce fruit is that we are nourished by him. And he talks about this vine and branch relationship as we are in Christ. If we are sustenance from him, we love him, we draw off of him, we will produce fruit in our lives. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Christianity isn't just a cry to live a good moral life. Hopefully we strive to live a good moral life because Christ is in us. Do you see the difference? It's not by external pressures. You're not doing it because the pastor's preaching down at you, wagging his finger. I grew up in churches that were like that. You were bullied into following the Lord. That's not what he wants. He wants you to draw off of him, to love him. Let him have his way in your life, and he will produce fruit in our lives. Because apart from him, I can do nothing. And what we need in this world isn't to pass the right law and try to comply people to an external morality. What the people need today is Jesus Christ in their heart and let him change it from the inside out. That's what we need. And I'm still clicking. Jesus goes on and says, look, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. I want to take a look because in here what he uses is this illustration. Is that, look, as the tree grows, the farmer will go along, the vine dresser will go along and will prune the branch. Right? Will take off the things that aren't necessary for producing the fruit. He'll trim it. He'll take some of the fruit that's on, take it off so that more will be produced. And sometimes in our lives, sometimes the struggle we feel like we're going through, right? Sometimes what we're going through is God pruning us. Now, I am not a gardener by any stretch of the imagination. We had one gentleman in one of the churches we were at who had many fruit trees. And so he invited us over to pick some of the fruit, and he had pears, and he had peaches, and he had apples, and he had all types of stuff. And we were over there one day, and he was pruning his trees. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone prune a fruit tree. I think the goal is to make that tree as ugly as you can. Oh, yeah, there it is, ugly. Right? You know, you picture an orchard, you know, and you got this big full tree and all these leaves and all that. He goes, that's wasteful. He goes, what you want to do is focus all the energy into producing the fruit. And so it's hurtful, if you will, to the tree to trim that off. And sometimes in our life, God brings stuff along in our lives to prune out the unnecessary things, to prune off the things that are drawing us elsewhere, all these things that keep us from producing fruit. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But God's desire is that we would produce fruit, much fruit. He goes, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into a fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. The Lord wants us to be fruitful in our lives, to produce results for the kingdom of God, for his honor, for his glory. Lord, help me to shine for you. And one of those things that happens in our lives, that we are produced as we abide in him, these results come from him. And Galatians gives us this. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Look, if you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives in you, he is producing in you these fruits. And you can do things to squander it. You can do things to restrain it. But there should be some evidence in your life. These things should be showing up if the Holy Spirit lives in you. It's not your work, right? I'm not telling you to go and be loving. I'm not telling you to go be joyful. I'm telling you to go have peace. Interesting. These are things that we cannot produce on ourselves. Try it some night. Right? In the middle of the turmoil, and the rough, and the storms of life, you turn around and say, I'm going to be peaceful. How's that going to work for you? I mean, you may be able to suppress it. You might be able to push it down and stuff those feelings down. But they're there, and they're going to eat you up. But those of us who are Christians, who put our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we abide in him, he will give us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He will produce these things in our lives. Be in his word. You know, the illustration of a plant, right? You don't go out there and yell at your plant and say, produce the flower, produce the fruit. No, what? You water it. You tend to it. You provide it all that it needs. And in that, through the process of time, it will produce fruit. That's what God does in our lives. That we need to put ourselves in the environment in which God is in control. Be in his word. Be in prayer. Be in fellowship. As we are doing all these spiritual exercises, as we are experiencing God in those levels, and in us, he comes and dwells in us, and he will produce from the inside out these fruits. Look at Luke says, Luke 3. And he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him. This is John the Baptist. Now, you know John the Baptist was, you know, one of these squishy kind of pastors. Yeah, no. He was a firecracker. But this is what he says. He said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say in yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you, God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John the Baptist warned them, said, look, if you repent from your sins, right, bear the fruit of that. Right, we have the fruit of the Spirit. If you are in the Spirit of God now lives in you, he will produce these fruits in your life as you surrender to him. Secondly, we see this idea of fruit that comes from repentance. As I said, this is a very unpopular message today. But God wants us to turn from our sin. But Pastor, I like it. I enjoy it. This is how I am. No, the Bible says repent. To turn from those sins. Leave those things behind. He paid the price for those things. He freed you. You do not have to live in your sin anymore. Come out from among them. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. To turn from your sins, leave them behind. And that produces fruit in our lives. That produces fruit. A life of surrender to him. Stop carrying your burdens around. Stop giving in to the flesh. Confess it. The Bible says, we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn from your sin. Abandon it. Don't live there anymore. And that is a fruit in our lives. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. If you're truly saved and you turn from your sin, he will produce results in your life. Hebrews says this, But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your works and your labor of love which he has shown towards his name. In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the same assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. That in your life that you will produce things that accompany salvation. If you are a Christian, it should show. Years ago, I heard a pastor say, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a sobering thought. Years ago, I remember I was in high school, and you know, I grew up in church. I was a good little boy, mostly. And I remember I was working at McDonald's at the time, and I was sort of a junior manager. I worked my way to that position. And something came up, and I remember asking the store manager, I said, look, can I have this Sunday off because something's going on at church? And a few of the people who were kind of standing around there kind of took a step back and like, you go to church? Ouch. That really convicted me. Then in here, I tried to blend in. I tried to, you know, play around with the world and act cool and hip. And yet in that, I hid my faith.
What?
Jesus says, look, if you're ashamed of me, he goes, I'll be ashamed of you. If I am saved, is there proof in my life? Is there fruit in my life that people can point to and say, okay, is there a hope in your life? Is there a confidence in your life that comes from the Lord that people can see? In the middle of the chaos, you have the peace that passes by understanding. We're told in the scriptures that we should be able to give an account for the hope that is within us. Or are we just like the world? See, there's a warning that goes along with it. We're called to be fruitful, but there's a warning of being fruitless. We've seen this in this passage, right? He used a fig tree. He came up to the fig tree and said, oh, look at all these, right? Look at all these leaves. And he talks about in the passage that in you, the fig tree was full of leaves, but there's nothing inside. It was all show. In you, the religious people were all show, but no real fruit. All show, but no fruit. You know, it's one of those things that I used to work with a guy and show up early for work, and every once in a while, I was there a little bit later, and he'd come up, and this is the kind of guy he was. He goes, oh, wouldn't a cup of coffee be great right now? I was like, oh, yes. He goes, we're out. He's like, you build that expectation, right? Oh, and yet kind of pull the rug out from under us. And sometimes as Christians, we kind of play that game. And in here, we have this expectation, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. But when push comes to shove, how many people are folding? How many people are actually enduring? How many people are standing? I had the privilege with a few of you to go down to Augusta and stand for what is right. And I was blessed by how many people who came up to stand up for what was right. I was really impressed and really pleased at how many pastors were there. And I came home and I said, you know, Facebook, you want to post something, but you don't always do it. You know, it's like, so I kind of always battle that. So sometimes I'll type it and then I'll erase it because I'm like, you know, I felt like coming home and saying, look, if your church doesn't stand for life, find another church. I mean, this is so clear cut. There's so many issues today where the Bible, thus says the Lord, and God's people who say they're God's people aren't standing on that or denying the very words of Scripture. Let me show you from the Bible what it says, and they run from it. They're all show, but no fruit. This is Mark's account of the same thing. It says, now on the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to it to see perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And it's interesting, he says, for it is not the season for figs. And in response to it, Jesus said, let no fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. And it's interesting, I don't know much about figs, so I started Googling a little bit about figs. And figs can take up to 3 years to produce fruit. I found it interesting, Jesus was ministering for 3 years, and there was no fruit in their life. Often what would happen is a fig tree, from what I understand, is often it will start producing sort of the beginnings of fruit, sort of the buds of fruit, before it will leaf out. Because in here, the idea is to get the fruit started, and then the plant will fill in. And here was a tree that was in full leaf, right? The majority of its energy was already spent, not on the fruit, but on the looks. And so Jesus walked by this tree, and even though it wasn't in season, he walked by and he looked at it, and it showed all the outside saying, hey, I'm ready. You know, come and get it. And when Jesus went in there, he didn't find anything at all. It was empty. It was shallow. It was good for nothing. Woe to this world. Woe to those who call themselves Christians who have no fruit in their life, who aren't abiding in Christ, and are leading others astray. Oh, we look good. Oh, we have all this social justice. We got all these other agendas we go through. Oh, look at us. And yet inside there is nothing. Actually, Jesus called the religious leaders whitewashed sepulchers. Oh, they're pretty on the outside, but they're dead on the inside. We're called to be fruitful. There's a warning against being unfruitful. And I just want to give you just a few minutes of things in your life that can hinder fruit being produced. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about some seed that fell on the thorny ground. It says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the world, and he becomes unfruitful. As Christians in our lives, we got to stop worrying about what the world thinks about us and be focused on God. Don't go along with the latest trends or what's popular. Stand on the Word of God. So many people today are leaving the faith because they'd rather choose the ways of this world, be approved by the world, than to stand before God and be solid in what He says. Notice what it says, the cares of this world. Right? Sometimes the pressures of this world, the hardships we go through, will really draw us closer to God or will drive us farther away. Please cling to Him. When the storms of this world hit you, don't walk away. Stay to Him, and He will strengthen your faith. This is the deceitful of riches. Sometimes we care too much about the stuff of this world. To keep it, to hold it, maintain it. God says that we cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve money and wealth and fame and God at the same time. We live in such a contrasted area, you know. We have so many people who are so involved in various things of social media, where we hear about what people think and worry about those things, and yet we're more alone than ever before. Live your life for Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Keep your eyes on the Lord. James warns us, says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, I have faith and I have works. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. What James is saying here is if you are a Christian, it should show. It should show. That if you are abiding in him and he abides in you, it will produce fruit. There will be a result. There should be evidence that someone looks at your life and say, oh yeah, they're a Christian. And we have too many people who will put on the name of Christ but not pick up their cross and follow him. So the solution here, he brings this back up in chapter 21, is to keep believing and don't doubt. It's interesting because as they come up through, here's the tree is withered up. And the disciples are like, whoa, how that die so fast? And Jesus doesn't explain to them, this is about the religious leaders. He doesn't go into anything I just said. So they ask him, what is the case here? He points to them and says, look. So Jesus answered and said to them, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. It's interesting. Jesus uses this illustration often about saying to this mountain, get up and throw into the ocean. And I've looked through the scriptures, and I've never seen a case where someone says, mountain, move and go into the ocean. But what's he talking about here? Isn't that God promises superpowers and strength and all our wishes come true? No, what he's saying here is trust in me. Bring your requests to God. Stay connected to him. Stay in Christ. And in here, he hears our prayers. He builds us up. He will produce fruit in our lives. Folks, it's so important for us to have faith and not doubt. Trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in him. Be faithful. Be faithful. You know, it's interesting. I looked at fig trees, and a fig tree usually will produce within the first 3 years. And oftentimes after that, if it doesn't produce fruit, then it won't. And sometimes it takes time. It takes time. But it's real and it's genuine. Let God have his work in your life. Abide in him. Stay in him. Pray. Read your Bible. Be together with other Christians. Do those things, and he will produce these fruits in his life in its season. Be patient. He's still working on you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the truth that it holds. Lord, help me not be a superficial Christian. But Lord, I want to be a Christian that produces fruit for the kingdom. Have your way in my life, Lord. Help me to abide in you, to stay in you. And Lord, you will change me. Lord, I can't do it on my own. Lord, I need your Spirit to surrender to it, not resist it, not grieve it, but surrender to the Spirit, Lord, that you may produce these things in my life. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.